The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2 W243 AD Adrian 96.5 The Cave.
Good evening. It's Monday night and time for Saint Sports Weekly. I'll be your host this evening, John Roberts, filling in for Jeff Bowman. And tonight it is women's lacrosse, Saint style, here on Saint Sports Weekly. And we are pleased to have in studio with us tonight the head coach of the Lady Saints, Brandon Allwood, and one of his players, Megan Gibbs. So welcome to both of you, and let's talk some lacrosse.
Hey, thanks for having us. It's awesome to be here. It's awesome to get an opportunity to showcase our team, and yeah, just show the people what we're all about.
Well, your season is over, so what I thought we would do to start the show is just kind of do a little bit about you, Coach, and then we'll talk with Megan a little bit about her and, you know, how you arrived at Siena Heights, why you chose Siena Heights, and you know, we'll go from there into the season, and then we'll talk, you know, now that the season's over, we'll talk about goals for next season. So, Coach Brandon Allwood, tell us about your route to Siena Heights.
Okay, so I am born and raised in Michigan. I'm from New Buffalo, west side of the state. I didn't have a ton of lacrosse experience. I had a lot of friends growing up from these private schools in Chicago who would come and spend the summers there, so I had a bit of experience. I ended up going to Albion College to play soccer. It took me about halfway through the stretch to realize that I was not cut out for what they needed. Mm-hmm. And I knew it wasn't going to benefit anybody, myself, my team. So I decided that I was just going to take a step back and not play soccer and just be a student at Albion. All three of my roommates played lacrosse and they were like, hey, we really need people. And I was like, okay, I have a little bit of experience. Like, I would love to do this. And so I was on the first ever team there. I was on a part of that program for 4 years. I spent a fifth year at Albion and I helped out a little bit here and there, but mostly just focused on school. And then once I left college, I went to school to be a teacher and I didn't really want to teach. Mm-hmm. So I did the next best thing, which was coaching. So I became the assistant coach for the women's team at Albion for 2 years. We won 2 conference championships, went to the NCAA tournament, and my boss, Shanta Lecker, she kind of made a little joke that she was going to fire me at the end of the year because she knew that if they paid enough, that I would have just stayed there forever. Mm-hmm. I loved my time there. I loved Albion. It was everything. It was why I did lacrosse.
Sure.
So when that happened, I applied for quite a few jobs, and I landed at Hanover College, which is in southern Indiana. I started great. I got Coach of the Year my first year there. We were picked 9th place in conference. We finished 4th. Pretty much same thing the following year. We finished 4th again, and then every single year after that, but my last year, we went to the conference championship. We did lose that game every single time. That was against Transylvania University. They're a pretty good program. Mm-hmm. Down there. And I just think that they had a bit more time and we were playing a lot of catch up. We had some good games against them towards the end of my career. My last year at Hanover, while I loved it, everyone was wonderful. I absolutely loved that team. I still text them quite often. I cheered them on all year. I knew that it just wasn't the place for me anymore. And mostly because we're from Michigan. My wife is from Michigan, so we really wanted to be back here.
Sure.
So I knew about Siena Heights. My stepdad went to Siena Heights. So there was definitely, like, when I saw it open, I was like, this is the perfect location. I know people at Adrian College. The men's lacrosse coach here is actually my mentor my first year as a head coach. We were gifted. We were given mentors, and he used to coach women's lacrosse. So he was mine. So there were these connections.
Okay.
After meeting with Sue and everybody involved, it kind of fired me up. I was in Division III. If you're not a top 25 program out of those 200 and something, it's the competitiveness is in your conference. There really isn't much after that. And when I consistently knew, best case scenario, we lose 20-10 to Transylvania, the competitiveness was kind of dying in me. And I knew coming here that they were a team on a bubble. They were a team receiving votes. They were a team that like lost a lot of kids, but there was a core group that stayed. I had a lot of faith in our assistant coach, Alex Sklack, who kind of told me that things were going to be good. And just speaking with the team and kind of hearing what they wanted and feeling like it matched me quite well. Once I was offered the job, I knew it was what I wanted to do. And, you know, there was a moment in my career where I wasn't 100% sure. This is quite a draining job. It's quite a weird job. And I can say that with people like Megan and our team, like I have never enjoyed lacrosse as much as I do right now. Just the drive to get better, and it's pretty amazing.
Megan, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I'm going to go back and ask Coach a couple follow-up questions.
Yeah, so I was born in New York, in Syracuse, New York, so a lot, like everybody around me played lacrosse, but I moved to Perrysburg, Ohio when I was like 5 or 6, so I didn't really get into much then. And then how I started playing was I was signed up for softball, and my friend begged me to come to this lacrosse camp, and she hated it. I fell in love instantly, and my mom was like, all right, like, you have to pick. We're not doing softball and lacrosse. So I think I, like, cried about it for a couple of days. I was a little kid. I didn't know what to do. So I finally picked lacrosse. I stuck with it, and I've just, like, loved it since. And then to come to Siena, I wanted somewhere that was kind of close to my house so I could go back when I wanted to, but not too, too far away. So I'm about an hour away now, which isn't bad. And then what really stuck out about Siena was just how accepting the people were. I was looking for somewhere that would let me play basketball and lacrosse because I couldn't pick one and I didn't want to give one up. And Coach Alexa and Coach Sue, who were both the coaches here when I started, they both like just said it's totally up to me and let me go for it. And then with Brandon and our new basketball coach, Candace, both of them just let me keep playing, and I've loved it ever since.
So I'll stay with you. Play in high school? Okay,
yes,
I didn't know. Some schools have teams. I mean, there's not a lot of teams, Tecumseh being the only one in Lenawee County.
Yeah.
But even, you know, if you go to Monroe County, there's a few. Washtenaw County, excuse me, a little bit more involved there. Some in Jackson County, but that's really about it in this area. I see an M on your bio, midfielder.
Midfield.
Okay, was that what you played in high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a novice with lacrosse. I've seen one Siena Heights women's game, and that's the only lacrosse game I've ever watched in my life live. So I may have some questions that you're teaching me the game here as we go along. And you mentioned you also play basketball.
Yeah.
So I assume you did both in high school
and
travel and all that good stuff. And still plan to play going forward? That's the plan?
That's the hope.
Okay.
I love them both, so as long as I can still do it and
not burn out. Yeah, one of the nice things about a school the size of Siena is you can do that a lot of times.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're not the only person at Siena that maybe is involved with two athletic programs.
Yeah.
So very good, very good. Coach, going back to you, philosophically, if you were to tell me as someone who's watched one lacrosse game in their life, and I get the concept. I mean, there I watch. There's some similarities to hockey. I mean, for someone who would come to a lacrosse game for the first time, okay, you put the ball in the net, okay, just like hockey, put the puck in the net. But I'm sure there's some strategic and differences in terms of the number of players and positions and those kinds of things. So what's your philosophy as a coach? What kind of team do you want to be known as? And then how do you position players to achieve that philosophy?
Oh, wow. Okay, so I think the best way for me to describe it, and I think our team did a really good job at this this year, is I am a bit more of a I don't think methodical is the right word, but I'm a bit slower
okay.
of a coach. I'm not a big fan of the fast break. I will admit, sorry to the girls I used to coach. I will admit, I think now it's a bit of a skill issue thing where my old team, we didn't have the skill set or the numbers
sure.
to risk that quick opportunity. Where
sure.
now, when I have a girl like Megan Gibbs in the midfield who can run back and forth mm-hmm. for the entirety of a game, that kind of in my mind is switching. So I do like to play it a little bit slower. I don't want to win a lacrosse game 17-6. That happens. There was a game 2 years ago that was 26-24. I don't want to do that. That's too stressful.
Yeah.
It's going to make the game long. So I've always been like, if we take our time on offense, it limits them on defense.
Sure.
And also, our team is, no offense to anybody that plays offense on our team, we are a very, very strong defensive team.
Sure.
And I will even say that applies to our offensive players. They turn the ball over. The other team's got to get it 100 yards.
Right.
So you're kind of playing defense for 100 yards. You know, Danny Turner is an amazing, that girl will run. She will find you. Grace does the same thing. Our attack unit is very aggressive, and that helps with that. They cause turnovers, and they get the ball back. And now our defense essentially did something. They stopped a goal in that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like it a little bit slower. You know, we have lost a game 9-3 this year. That team was averaging like 12, 13 goals, 14 goals a game. They were a high-scoring team, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we just didn't match them. I think some things were made. If I were to be known for anything, our team, I would definitely want it to be this very consistent team that plays really strong defense, that is going to make you work for everything,
mm-hmm.
That's going to be aggressive when we need to be aggressive, and when we don't need to be aggressive, we can pull that back. Which we have learned to do as a team, Meg specifically a bit. So I just think that I would like it to be consistent, methodical, well thought out. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I want people to look at us and be like, wow, that's a good group of kids.
Sure.
I don't want to be a villain, but I always kind of say the teams I want them to be almost like the U.S. national team for women's soccer. They knew they were the best, and
right.
they weren't coming in being mean to people, but people were still afraid of them. And the games that were close or the games that they lost, they made it hard. They made these teams, wow, we got lucky. Wow, we beat them by two. That shouldn't have happened. Like, I want every team that beats us to be like, whoa, that was harder than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that personally, and I don't know if Meg would agree, that our conference found that out this year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams expected to just destroy us because we lost games by 10 last year, and that's not
sure.
what's happening
sure.
anymore.
Well, I my coaching background is football.
Okay.
So I totally get being strong on the defensive end, because if you can keep the other team's offense off the field, it gives your offense
mm-hmm.
more chances to score, which in the end is the goal, mm-hmm. is score at least one more than your
yeah.
opponent. And so I understand that. And I think you made a great point where that defense can start offense often, especially if your forwards are good at transitioning back on defense, turnovers,
mm-hmm.
and now we're quick on the offense again because we don't have to run the length of the field,
yeah.
maybe. You being a midfielder, Megan, that's a lot of running, I would imagine.
Yeah.
You have to be in really good shape, but you have to be in really good shape as a basketball player, too, to get
yeah.
up and down the court. You can't just play at one end, and, you know, you could, but I imagine Coach Leatherwood wouldn't leave you in the game very
yep.
long if you just stood down on offense. And so that conditioning is very important, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, it's a big part of it, but the more we get into season, the easier it gets. And, like, there's some girls on our team who are down on the defensive end who have the legs to go run. So if me or Jenna or Maitland, all of our midfielders get tired, like, we can send them for a couple reps and then just focus on our defense for a little while.
Mm-hmm. So now I look at your stats, 12 goals on the season and 6 assists in 13 games. So to me, when a player in a goal sport, I would say soccer, hockey, lacrosse, when they average more than a point a game, I think you're doing pretty well. I mean, to me, if you've got a bunch of girls that are scoring more than a point a game, you've got or averaging more than a point a game, you've got a chance to be pretty successful as a unit. And you know, thinking about what Coach said, it's got to make it tough to defend you, because I did look at your team stats, and you're loaded with girls who had 13, you know, we got one with 54 goals, 20. I mean, a lot of double-digit goal scorers. And, I saw that Jenna was the one who scored in the 50s. And I remember watching her play just a year or so ago when I came to the Siena Heights game. You were probably out there, too. You know, that's got to make it difficult for your opponents to defend you when so many girls are capable of scoring.
Yeah, like, so obviously Jenna's our leading scorer, and she's amazing, like, very talented. And everybody knows that coming in, and even if they can shut down Jenna, we still have 5-6 girls on the offensive end who can consistently give you a point, 2 points, maybe 3 points a game, which they can stop one girl, but they can't stop all seven.
Right.
Like, at some point, there's a weak point, and one of our girls on our offensive end will be able to make up for it.
Go ahead, Coach.
I actually think we won a game specifically because of that mindset that we had that, but the other team did not.
Mm.
Jenna is a force to be reckoned with. When you look at especially those first couple of games, you have to think to yourself, if we can stop her, we're going to do pretty well. We played a team, and that was their focus. Their focus was stop Jenna Alley. Jenna still scored a goal.
Sure.
You had like five against Alma? How many did you have against Alma?
I don't know if I had any against Alma.
What? You didn't score against Alma either?
I guarded out.
Oh, that's right.
I guarded
you did.
Out.
Okay. But that's a situation in which we still, I think she had two goals. So we scored 11 points without her, and we won in overtime.
Sure.
And other teams have tried doing it. They've also, it's called a face guard, which is essentially they just get as close to you as possible no matter where you are. And they're like, I'm only looking at you. And they've done that to us. And in the past, some of the teams I've coached, I've lost games because of that. But here, I mean, when I saw it happening, I was like, that's so silly. Like, why are you doing that? Like, we have other kids, and they stopped doing it. But by that time, I think it was a little too late.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that I'm sure you're going to look at going forward, and we'll talk more about this later, is continuing to find girls that are capable of playing both ends. I would think being a midfielder, you have to have maybe more of a balanced skill set. You have to be able to be on the attack and put the ball in the net, but you also have to be able to get back quickly and play whatever the defensive philosophy is. You know, you have to be able to play that good team defense, whereas maybe your forwards, while they have to play some defense, maybe you'd want them to be a little more offensive minded but willing to play defense.
Yeah, they need to have the will.
And your back row maybe a little more love to play defense but willing to move forward and help with the attack a little bit. So, you know, that makes sense to me. And again, I'm a big time novice to the sport of lacrosse for sure. Go back to Megan. We'll take a little break here from lacrosse and talk about you as a student. Now, what are you studying at Siena?
I'm studying exercise science. I want to use that and pursue it to go be a physical therapist.
Okay.
So get my doctorate after school here. I don't know where.
Dr. Megan.
Sounds a little
so
weird.
Grad school, obviously, is in the plans when you're done at Siena. And you're a sophomore this year?
Yeah, sophomore
okay,
this
so
year.
Okay, so a couple more years at Siena. Okay. Well, that's a good plan. Any particular place you might like to go to grad school? No?
Not really.
Just wherever you can.
Wherever I can go, I'll go. And hopefully it's warm.
Would you have any interest in being like a graduate assistant coach in lacrosse maybe as part of your...
I've thought about it, and it would be something I'd really want to do. Like, even if I'm like a coach too before I actually adult and have to go to PT school and everything, like, I would love to do it if I
can. Would you want to coach at the college level, high school, youth?
Probably the college level.
Yeah.
I like the competitiveness of it.
Yeah.
And like high school is competitive too, but I just feel like college is that extra step and I love to compete.
Sure.
I hate losing, so.
Yeah.
If I can do that, I'd love to do that.
Well, very good. Well, and you'd be close to the game at that level, you know, and would understand, being a former player at that time, what it takes to help young women reach their potential. But you would also understand the recruiting part of it. You know, that's obviously part of being a successful college coach as well. All right, well, we're going to take a quick time out, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more Siena Heights women's lacrosse right here on Saints Sports Weekly.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Morencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at siennaheights.edu. Again, that's siennaheights.edu.
And welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly here on a Monday evening. Tonight we are featuring the women's lacrosse team of the Saints and first-year coach Brandon Allwood and one of his players, sophomore Megan Gibbs, with us tonight. In the first segment, we learned a little bit about both of them, both as their background and as a coach and as a player. And what we want to do now is kind of shift our focus on the 2025 season, a season in which the Saints went 7-8. They were 4-3 in the conference, 500 at home and 500 on the road. So a pretty balanced results. You know, I looked through the schedule and a little bit of a sluggish start in February. But in March, you picked it up, winning 5 out of 7 and played 500 lacrosse in April. So, you know, first season in the books, coach, some initial thoughts, how it went, what, you know, compared to maybe what your expectations were coming in.
We met my expectations. We did what I felt we wanted to do. Finish 500 was the goal. While technically our schedule doesn't say that, that's a conference tournament loss. So
right.
I'm going to take 500. But I do think, like, you know, we did get off to a pretty slow start. And I'm going to say that specifically for our first game. Like, St. Thomas, they came in, they were a strong young group. And I think they caught us off guard a little bit. We had beat them last year. I think we had some nerves of not playing yet. And so when that happened, it didn't go according to plan. And I was quite stressed because if you ever get me back on this show, ask about our Kentucky trip.
No.
But we are not going to talk about that. It was a mess.
Megan's laughing.
We ended up, our second game was against the University of the Cumberlands.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, they were ranked third in the nation.
Oh, wow.
So last in the year before, I think we lost like 20-4.
Yeah.
So I mean, they absolutely, and we are also graduated last year, a ton of seniors. You know, Meg was last year with an ACL. So like we have a lot of these people playing that aren't used to playing. And to lose 16-10 to them after losing by close to 20 the year prior, I think was quite amazing. It was quite awesome. And there were times on the sidelines where like I was looking at my assistant coach and we were like giggling to each other, like, oh my gosh, this team has the potential.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the year as we went on, some of those like hiccups, that Adrian College game was a fun game. I really enjoyed it. It was back and forth. Some of those kind of hiccups, and I don't mean this to anybody, is you have to be used to winning. It takes something special to win. I've played in games, I've coached in games where I have been the better team, but they have a history of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we do not, but last year and this year and even the year prior, we're building to that. So I think there were some of those hurdles. So when you are down by two or down by one in these Indiana Tech and Adrian College games, and we, or even our second time against Bethel, you have that experience winning. I think those games get a lot easier.
Sure.
When it comes to conference play, did I want to finish higher than fourth? Yeah, for sure. However, when it's a three-way tie for first place, I'll take runner-up. You know, I'll take that verbiage right there.
Right.
And I will also say, you know, going into the season, doing some research, talking to my assistant coach, we had conversations of, what do you think the score is going to be against LTU? What do you think the score is? And I can tell you, and I hope in a way Meg agrees. I think a lot of us expected to lose to Indiana Tech by 10, to Lawrence Tech by 10. I think everyone expected to lose to Marion. But things were happening where we were like, oh my goodness, we're down 7-0 against one of the best teams in our conference, a team that is constantly top 10. And we ended up losing by 2 or 3,
right,
whatever it was, and we were within one goal. It's moments like that where they knew they could still win, and we just needed it the whole time. And they were like, this isn't over. And there was a moment where I was like, what are you talking about? Like, we lost. This is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say that, but they had it within them to keep going. I'm always going to fight. But so I think in that regard, I'm really, really pleased. I'm really happy to have hosted a conference tournament round. That was awesome. So that we were picked to finish fourth. We took home 4 all-conference awards. Last year, I believe it was only 1. And again, when you have a 3-way tie for first place, those kids that maybe were second team, like Megan Gibbs, like Abby Scott, like Lauren Thomas, those kids probably would have been all-conference had we been third place, or there not be this wild thing where you have to kind of, Indiana Tech, Marion, and Lawrence Tech all deserve the sort of same amount because they all went 7-1 in conference.
Right.
So, you know, I'm really happy with that, to, you know, essentially be runner up, get fourth place, and to have truly fought like tooth and nail with all 3 of those teams is amazing. I was so unbelievably proud. The season did not end the way I wanted to, but when I think back of being down 7-0, when I think back of almost losing by 10 to Lawrence Tech, but we scored a goal with 28 seconds. We got the ball, made a save or something. 28 seconds left. We hustled down, scored a goal. The game ended by losing by 9.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge, you know, because in that game, you know, you're down by 9 with 28 seconds left. Why score?
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Why? And then they wanted it because
right.
there was something in their minds of like, maybe this goal's worth 10 now. I don't know. Maybe we will win this game. You know, so that drive that, and it helped me a lot too of like, I mean, now I could be down 20-0 and be like, I think I can win.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I never had.
Right.
I can tell it to you.
Well, and I think, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you can learn a lot about your team in sometimes more when mm-hmm. when the chips are against you
yeah.
as opposed to when you're kind of cruising along mm-hmm. winning by 7
yeah.
or 8 goals. And I think that never quit, never give up mentality is only going to serve the girls and your team and your program going forward in a positive way because, you know, the game's not over till the game's over. And,
yeah.
and if you play until the final bell, you've always got a chance to be in the game. You know, and I think that's a great attitude to have. From your lens as a player, Megan, season – some highs that you experienced and maybe some things that didn't quite turn out like you planned.
I think, like, overall, I think the season went really well. Like, I think we kind of shocked ourselves in those tough games against LTU, Indiana Tech, Marion. Like, last year we got our butts handed to us
sure.
in those games. And this year, like, we didn't really know what to expect and we came out and, I mean, Indiana Tech, we were losing 7-0. And then going into halftime, like right before, it just started to click, and we got only down by 1, and then
8-7.
Mm-hmm, 8-7, and then we only ended up losing by 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So I think like we just played hard the whole season. Like even if the outcomes didn't end up how we wanted, we just played hard the whole game, and it turned out good.
Yeah. You know, I, again, from a player standpoint. You know, there's always things that you wish would have turned out. You know, that mm-hmm. game that if we would have just played a little better at the start or if
yeah.
we had just played a little better at the end, the result might have been different. You know, and I'm sure if you look back on some of those games, especially the close losses, those are the ones that always mm-hmm. seem to sting the most. But those are the ones that act as motivation. You know, I look down your schedule and I see a couple games like, you know, you mentioned the Indiana Tech game, the Adrian College game, where you lose by just a couple goals. You know, I have to believe that both coach and player, you're going to go into the offseason now thinking we're going to flip that score next
yeah.
year.
Mm-hmm.
We know we can compete with those teams. We know that with the players we have coming back and the players that we're going to bring aboard next year, that those are winnable games for us. You know, you look and coach, I think you make a great point. You as a football coach, I always want to build towards, how do we get to where we're beating the best team on our schedule? And again, novice in the world of lacrosse, I don't know who the best team on your schedule is. I don't know who the best team year in, year out in your conference is. Sounds like Indiana Tech's usually pretty good.
Lawrence Tech.
So, you know, how do we get to that level? Well, you're close on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do we make that difference now? Is it our off-season training? Is it, you know, people we recruit? I mean, I think those are probably all things that are part of taking that next step. You know, as you said, you've finished fourth place in the league. If that's the floor of the program going forward and you're always in that top four in the hunt to be in that fourth or higher, that's a pretty good place to be. And the other thing that I kind of liked what you said is, you know, this was back in the first segment. You said, I want people to know that when they played us, man, that was tough. Win or lose, mm-hmm. it was tough. They had to work. They had to bring their A game. They had to play their very best game to stay on the field with
mm-hmm.
you, win or lose.
Yeah.
And I think when you can walk off the field, you can say, hey, we gave it everything we had, and it was a success today. Or we gave it everything we had, and today they were just a goal or two better than
yeah.
us. And, you know, when you know you're there, I think that's when you realize we're as good as anybody on our schedule. Yeah. And, you know, we just got to work hard to make the breaks go our way, because sometimes it's a mishandled ball or, you know, not getting back on defense as quick as you want them to that makes the difference in the game.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty accurate. I like the we're as good as anybody on our schedule. I think that mindset was like leaking into us the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like there would be times where you could feel it, and then like a couple things would happen that were negative and we'd lose that, and then we'd get it back. And I think there were just moments where, and I think IT is the one exception, where we got knocked down a couple pegs. It was hard to get out of that. But I think moving forward, like with the group that like, there's little, I have this stupid thing, 0-0, the score, you're up by 10, you're down by 10. There's a time and a place to pay attention to the score.
Sure.
You're down by one, you don't have the ball, there's 30 seconds left, what are we going to do?
Right.
But it's a 16-minute game, and we have to be the 0-0 mindset. And I've been saying, and I've said it for, I'm on year 13 as a coach, whatever, 12 as a coach, and it was so cool to like hear them say it this year of like these games where I was like, man, I don't even say it as much as I used to.
Sure.
It isn't as important to this group. And just to like hear those little things, you know, and I think a lot of what we talked about, and I think a lot of what people are excited for is like, this was a transition. I'm new to this team. I'm not going to come in here and be like, this is what I do, and this is what has worked at Hanover.
Right.
Because not everything worked at Hanover, and it's a different group of people. So this has been a bit of an experiment. Like, we tried things that didn't work. We did things that I was like, that's a terrible idea. And I'm sitting here like, oh, my gosh, that single-handedly made us better. Like, I could have been holding my old teams back. So
sure.
I'm really excited, I think they are, and myself, we kind of are on the same page as I know what I need to do as a coach. And I think they know what they need to do. And they understood that this was a transition and that now we kind of are all on the same page. We all kind of know, oh, this is what he expects from us as a game. This is what he expects at practice. And then I have the same. Oh, this is what they want out of a pregame practice. This is what they want out of film. This is what they want out of that. So I think now we're just on the same page. We know each other more. We're more of a family than we were 7 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a huge motivator moving forward, 100%.
And one of the things that I found interesting, you talk about moving forward. And if I'm reading your roster right, you have one senior on the team.
Yeah, you're kind of reading it wrong, though.
Oh.
So I have been making a joke for the past 2 weeks. That going on Instagram lately is the best part of my day, because what I see is I see all these colleges and it's all their senior day pictures, all their senior day pictures, all their senior day pictures, seven kids, five kids,
sure.
six kids. Ava Lazareski is our senior.
Okay.
However, she did not play her freshman year, so she has another year of eligibility. So as of now, our entire team is coming back.
And so that is going to lead me to the next part. Is there a limit to how many players you can have on your roster in the NAIA?
No, there's
I mean,
not.
You could have
we
70
could,
girls.
We could. I don't think I would want that.
No.
I don't think Meg would want that.
No.
I don't think the girl number 70 would want that. But.
So obviously, this will be your first year recruiting Siena Heights?
Completely.
Yeah.
You know, we have been recruiting,
sure,
obviously, but
sure.
Yeah, the kind of starting
off-season,
from scratch,
right.
Not having working with the kids that were already in system, stuff like that.
How many girls do you look to bring in? Is there a set kind of target number necessarily, or are you looking certain positions? You know, is that something that kind of flows, because I don't know, college athletics is different because of things like the transfer portal and NIL. Is that something, is transfer portal something that exists in your world?
There's ways to do it. It's not through the NCAA. There's
right.
not like a website.
Right.
But from our perspective, where we are, it's not Division I football or basketball,
right.
men or women. It's if Megan is getting an NIL deal, it's like Cluckers is giving her a gift card for posting
doing
on Instagram.
Doing, you know, a radio like, commercial,
it totally,
maybe.
Like, it would be something
right.
along those lines.
Right.
So, however, like, my current goal right now is we have five kids coming in, so that puts our team at 25. And I would like to bring a couple more transfers in. I think what is happening these days is it's not necessarily the transfer portal. I don't think that's hurting sports at our level.
Right.
But I think kids now realize, like, oh, I'm not stuck there. Where I think that used to be it, where they're like, well, I like my friends. It's okay here, but I would be happier going to school with my sister or being closer to home. And it wasn't easy for them to leave.
Right.
So sadly, I do think they got a little stuck.
Right.
So I think the positive of the transfer portal is it does give somebody like Megan the opportunity to come to Siena for 2 years, make a bunch of friends, and just realize, oh my goodness, my parents are moving back to Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
I love being close to them, and I have another opportunity. Like, that's just a little bit easier.
Sure.
So I do think that like 8 to 10 kids a year would be a good number, because you just know that someone might just come here and be like, coach, I love you. I love the team. This just isn't for me. This isn't my place. Or maybe they want to go to cosmetology school, or they don't want to be a nurse anymore and some other school is better.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the plan would be. It'd be awesome to have close to 30 people on our team.
Mm-hmm.
However, that also creates it quite a difficulty. Meg doesn't have anything to worry about moving forward.
Sure.
But you know, someone else coming in might, or a young freshman who played a ton this year might all of a sudden not play for the rest of her career. So it is a bit of you want to have this number to plan for people leaving, planning for people getting hurt, which was our problem this year a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe kids don't do great in school or have to, you know, whatever it is. So you do want that number to be a little, in a perfect world, what I would say is we'd have like 27 people on our team that could play, and then have 2 or 3 like managers, whether that is Sally who came and tore ACL twice and is like, yeah, I am done with this, but I love you guys. I want to stay. And like, yeah, you can have your athletic scholarship still.
Right.
So looking, I think that would be a big group of 30 people with that's an assistant coach, a bunch of players. And like, you know, we need that support staff. We do need those kids who just love a sport.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, let's take our second break. And when we come back, we're going to move to next year in the future for Saints women's lacrosse. All right. Thanks for sticking with us. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Life as a farmer has many sides. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one farm insurer, to help farmers and ranchers stay profitable and protected. With Nationwide, you can feel confident you're getting coverage that fits your operations needs. Find out how to help protect your farm or ranch. Call us today.
D.S. Johnson & Associates, located in Adrian, Marencia, Monroe. Give them a call today at 517-263-2582.
For your many sides, there's Nationwide. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review and approval, products and discounts.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. A Catholic university located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
And welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. I'm your host, John Roberts, sitting in for Jeff Bowman. Women's lacrosse, our topic tonight. And we are done with the 2025 season. And talking with Coach here, wanted to talk a little bit about goals for next season. You've been through the conference once now. You know, you've seen the teams that were on your schedule this year. And I know when I was coaching and when I was the athletic director at Adrian, you know, one of the things we'd always do postseason is, do we want to keep the same schedule? Who's a team we might want to add? Who's a team we might want to drop? Of course, your conference is your conference. You can't get rid of those schools. You know, what are maybe some of your goals for next season? You know, you'll have your first probably full off season at Siena Heights. Just what, you know, rattling around in your head right now, what are some things that you want to see as next steps for the Saints women's lacrosse program?
Yeah, so I think for starters, this program, like, we were flirting with top 10 the whole time. Every time that came out, I'd look at the bottom and I just saw RV, receiving votes, Siena mm-hmm. Heights, Siena Heights. And I think something that hurt us a little bit was our strength of schedule, which is now a criteria for voting in the NAIA Women's Lacrosse. So I would like to see our schedule get a little bit tougher. I would still, Adrian, I mean, why wouldn't I go down the road, you know? And they got that bubble now, so we'll probably always be playing there indoors early. Albion College is my alma mater. That was quite a competitive game. They're always going to be a pretty good program. So those are kind of those D3 teams I would like to keep on. Mm-hmm. However, moving on the NAIA side of things, our schedule is a little bit different. We are playing more. We're playing a couple teams in our conference twice next year. Mm. So that really helps us in strength of schedule. So we do play Lawrence Tech twice. Mm. They're going to be a top five program.
Sure.
And so that's great for us. Even if we lose those games, that still looks great. So getting teams like Georgetown, who was a ranked program, I just shout out to Georgetown because they were amazing with 11 people.
Oh,
there's
wow.
12 on a field at a time.
Right.
And it truly was impressive.
And you play a person down the whole time.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And they had an amazing season.
Wow.
I mean, they did. I think we would have done better had we not. We did really good against them in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think we got, we're going to win. So I think just a little bit tougher of a schedule in that regard to prepare us to play Lawrence Tech twice,
sure.
to play Indiana Tech, to play Marion, who are going to be good programs. And if we kind of have, if we're just smashing cupcakes in fall and March, when we get to these games, we're not going to be prepared.
Right.
So we definitely need to have that in there, but also make sure we have those games that are competitive, but you kind of know you're walking away with the W if you do everything right.
Sure.
Because you still want to build that confidence.
Sure.
I mean, could we do great going 0-5 against all these ranked programs and still finish top 10, top 8, go to nationals? For sure. But we still would want that confidence going in. So that's definitely like a goal of mine. I think for me, you know, the writing is on the wall that, like, I'm not going to say it's the goal to win the conference, because if I don't do that, then that's and then I failed.
Sure.
So I 1,000% believe that this team can beat every team in our conference, but I also think we get fourth again. But I do think it's possible. It's doable. You know, we've got some talented kids coming in from Toledo. We've got a good attackman from Lansing. We've got an awesome defender from Detroit, and we've got a transfer kid that's kind of coming as a junior. So with like a little bit of age, that puts us at 25 people. Meg finally has a year of lacrosse under her belt as a junior and was like amazing for us. And Meg Gibbs, right next to me, Jenna Alley and Maitland Fuentes, they're our midfielders. And like, I mean, Meg came off the field because she got carted out of a couple games, but they're not coming off the field. They're playing every moment. And so even if having that one girl go on for 2 minutes and that gives Meg that 2 minutes, that's gonna be amazing for us. That is going to help us so much. So having that little bit bigger of a team, fighting those tough teams early and feeling it out. You know, I'd like to play Cumberland's again, maybe get one of those good Florida teams to come up here. St. Thomas was a good game. They finished receiving votes as well. And then when it comes to the end of the season, you know, it is a goal. I got 4 all-conference kids. Shout out to the 4 of you that did that. That wasn't just me. We as a team did that, and I would like to continue improving upon that.
Sure.
4 is a great number.
Let's get 6 or 7
next
year,
I've gotten
year, right?
second place a lot of the times, and that meant I was guaranteed 10 votes, 10 right. kids to put on.
Right.
And so a lot of my teams were 8 and 10, 7, 6. So, you know, I think this team has, I mean, goodness. I think we have 10 all-conference kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are young and will just get that experience. Meg was essentially a freshman this year, you know, and she, I mean, basketball ended. And then like a week later, Meg was like, first game. So there was, it was, yeah. So, and knowing that too, knowing how to work with Meg in the offseason and knowing what she's capable of, like coming in initially, I didn't know how to do this. Like, do you start right away? Because this girl's been here every day. And things like that of how do we do that? Talking with Meg, talking with captains, coaches, and you know, working a lot of that stuff out. So, yeah, I'm super, super, super excited to have a bigger team. And I think this team is, I could feel it. You know, losing our last game was absolutely heartbreaking in the locker room. And it's so hard to look into the future in that moment. But, like, looking around and when you would hear a captain say something like, we're not graduating anybody. Everybody in our locker room is on the team next year plus 5 new kids.
Yeah.
And like when you see people through tears, through anger and frustration, like shaking their head, like, yeah, like it was, yeah, that wasn't to me a truly like an awesome moment. And like, I was fired up. I like completely blacked that game out. I think afterwards I was just so excited to like get going. I was supposed to not come into work the next day, and I did, and I don't even know why. I was just ready.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I've got ideas, and I'm excited to talk to Megan. What are we going to do? Talk to Jenna Alley and Abby Scott and Ava Lazareski, our captains, and make sure I'm on the same page with Brooke Birchfield, our starting goalie, and just so we are and we know what we're doing. And
right.
What do you guys need from me, and how can I be the person that you need? And I think you talk about the future after this, and I've talked about it. You have to set up, you have to know how to win to win.
Right.
And so if we can do that next year, and then when we do graduate, we'll lose a pretty great class next year. Those people like Brooke and Megan and Audrey and Danny and Lauren and Anna, like these people who aren't graduating, they're going to know what it's like. Because
right.
They didn't have that yet.
They've
gone under 500 and then just under 500. So I think next year is going to be an amazing year for us. And that's where I hope that stamp of solidifying what we do here is kind of done.
There you go.
We've built the scaffold. We've built the frame of the building. The drywall is up. And we're painting right now. And the next class, they're putting in the furniture. They're putting in the frames like that. They're carpet. That's what their plan. That's what we're going to do. We're building something, and everyone else is just going to make it look pretty.
There we go. Like it. Megan, some of your goals as a player next year.
I think, like Coach said, we don't graduate anybody. And after that last loss, like, everybody looked around, and we want to win. We had on the board as one of our goals the whole year was to make it to the second round of the tournament. And with bringing in the 5 girls who we are, like, I think that we can definitely do that. And on top of that, I would love to win one or more of those games against those top teams. Like, we were on the receiving votes list all year after our first 2 games down in Kentucky, and to break into the top 10 next year would be like one of the best things, and I know we could do it. Like, we just need to get one win, two wins into those top 10 teams, and we're right there with everybody else.
Sounds like good goals. Good goals. Well, our time is just about up. Appreciate both of you coming in tonight talking about women's lacrosse. I want to end on one thing before. How do we grow the game of lacrosse in this area, and how can Siena Heights, maybe along with Adrian College, make kids more interested in lacrosse in this area?
So I think that's a great question, and I do think it starts young. It doesn't start in the high schools. It does have to start a little younger, because you got to hook these kids, and there's nothing easier than hooking a kid. You get an 8-year-old a skateboard, and they're going to love it for a couple years. You know, you give them, and they will buy in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we start. I think a great bonus of the situation that we're in is Amanda Asher, who's the head coach at Adrian College, and myself, we know each other quite well, and the women's game is a little bit easier to kind of pick up. And I also think it would be helpful for boys to play as well. It is a little bit easier, I think, to use both genders with this than it is the men's game, because the men's game is a bit more like put the helmet on, run around, and like crush people.
Right.
And you know, if you're not used to playing something like football, you might not be used to that.
Sure.
Frank Rogers is our coach here at Siena Heights. He's a great person. And Brett Wetzel, who's the head coach at Adrian College, who was actually, when I was a player at Albion, he was my assistant coach.
Mm.
So we have quite a great family of coaches that know
lacrosse
each other.
People.
So I really hope that as this goes on, we can work together. Frank has men's lacrosse and women's lacrosse experience. I have both as well. Like, we can really work together. And I think it starts young. The women's game is cheaper. So in that regard, you know, it would be a bit simpler. But I implore you to go to Adrian College's men and women's lacrosse games. They're talented. The men's team is good. They're incredibly well coached. It is an insane sport, men's lacrosse. And go to see the women play. And then come see us, our men's team and women's teams. It would be a great time. It is confusing. I will tell you that. If you go back-to-back games and you watch a men's game and then a women's game, you're going to be confused. They're super different. But it is an amazing game, and if your kids like things like soccer and basketball, or even basketball, hockey, I think you could have a lot of fun with these games.
Well, very good. Again, our time is up. It's been a great show, and really appreciate both of you coming in and talking lacrosse with us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep. All right. That's it for Saints Sports Weekly this weekend, or this week.